Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Tes. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Ches on the base, six lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara. Rish Lakish Iker LeBotra. Rish Lakish came to the city Botra, and says the Gemara, Chaz Yisrael, he saw that there were people from Klal Yisrael, the Koachli Peri Dolei Ma'asri. He saw people that were eating food, produce that Meiser wasn't taken off. Vaslohem. And he told them, you may not eat this produce unless Meiser is taken off from them. Then he saw Chazamaya, the Sagale of the Kachavim. He saw that there was water that the Nochrim had worshipped. The Shasu Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, Jews were drinking from that water. And that too, Vaslohu. And he told them that you're not allowed to drink that. You're not allowed to drink that water. Also, came to Rabbi Yochanan. So said, now Rish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan and told Rabbi Yochanan his experience. Amalehu, Amalei. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, "Ad the mikdarach alach. While you're still wearing your coat, quickly go and tell them that what you told them was wrong, because every moment that they were following his psak halacha, you will be held responsible, and any financial loss that they're going to suffer because of your psak, you're going to have to compensate them for that loss." That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees with that pshat. Tosfos says that if a dayan made a wrong psak, then if he physically took the money from the person who was exempt from paying, and he took the money from that person and made him pay for the money, pay for what happened, then he will be held responsible. But if he didn't physically take the money from one person to the other person, even though, of course, his psak was wrong, he doesn't have to pay. And moreover, he said, says Tosfos, Bezdin, Rish Lakish, was an individual who had been given authorization from the Bezdin to be able to pass in Shilas. And someone who's given authorization from Bezdin to pass in Shilas, even if he paskins incorrectly, the halacha is we follow his psak. So yes, Reb Yochanan wanted him to quickly go and correct if he said anything wrong, but it wasn't that it would cost him if he made it wrong. Zil Hadar, and he told him, go and retract from the incorrect psak. Because Betzer, which the Torah speaks about as a city in Eretz Yisrael, Lav Haina Batzra, it's not the same as Batzra. And Batzra is a city that is in Eretz Yisrael, that Batzra is a city in Bavel, and the city in Bavel is not obligated in Trumas and Maestris. So many Rishonim asked the question that even though there is no Chiv of taking Trumas and Maestris in Chutz Laretz, they suggest that Chazal, we find a number of places in Shas, made rules about Maestris being taken in Chutz Laretz that people should not come to make a mistake. So why is the halacha that you don't have to take Maisa and Betzer? So Rashi says that the Chiyav of Trumas and Maisris in Chutz Laretz were only on Dog and Tirish for Yitzer, grain, or olives, and grapes. Because Rashi says that the Chiyav Maisa Medaraisa is only on those three produce. And what we're speaking about here is not Dog and Tirish for Yitzer. Rabbeinu Tam says that the halacha of taking Maisa Chutz Laretz is not applicable by Demai. We often speak about Demai, which is produce that's bought from Amoritz. We have to be concerned, did he or didn't he take off Trumas and Maisris? That halacha only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. Another pshat that I saw that some Rishonim explain, that only the halacha of Trumas and Maisris in Chutz Laretz the number of details that Chazal were lenient on. And here, that was the case. Another explanation that I saw, that the only fruits that are chayiv in Chutz Laaretz and Trumas and Maisris are fruits that the same type of fruit grow in Eretz Yisrael. But if that type of fruit, the opinion of the Rash, if that type of produce doesn't grow at all in Eretz Yisrael, there's no chayiv Trumas and Maisris in Chutz Laaretz. Another pshat is that the peiros in Chutz Laaretz that are chayiv in Trumas and Maisris is only that is bought from a Jew. But if they were bought from a Nachri, where there's a question if this chiyuv trumas and maisris on produce that's bought in Eretz Yisrael from a Nachri and Chutz Laaretz, we're certainly lenient. And that's why over here, it was that type of produce that was bought from a Nachri, and therefore there was no chiyuv at all. So the question, of course, is that yes, we gave a number of leniencies on produce in Chutz Laaretz versus produce Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't change that the base there is some level of chiyuv on Trumas and Maisris and produce in Chutz Laaretz. Why don't we see, Bezman Azed, that anybody should take Trumas and Maisris from any produce that grows on Chutz Laaretz? Rabbeinu Tam says that since all properties are mortgaged to the government that they could collect taxes from, so that changes the status of all property in Chutz Laaretz. Another terrorist that the Rishonim suggest is that there's a Yerushalmi in Masechta Chala that says that the Chiyuv Derabbanan of taking Trumas and Maisris in Chutz Laaretz was abolished. And the Ri says that the only area in Chutz Laaretz that you have to take Trumas and Maisris is places that are close to Yisrael, locations that are close to Yisrael. But locations that are not close to Yisrael, those locations never had a chiyuv trumas and maisris. Then he told him that you had told them, Rabbi Yochanan speaking to Reish Lakish, said you had told him there's a problem with the water, because the water had been worshipped. He said, Maim Sharabim Ein Asarim, water that belongs to the Rabbim never becomes Asar. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say this? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Atamei. Rabbi Yochanan is following his opinion. Damar Rabbi Yochanan b'shim Rabbi Shim ben Yoy Tzadik. Mayim shel Rabbim, water that belongs to the Rabbim and in the Sarim, they even if they were worshipped, they don't become Osir. With a concept that we've learned many times, that Ein Adam Osir Davishen Shaloi. A person cannot make something that doesn't belong to him Osir. So the Ravid points out that why does the Gemara say that Ein Adam Oysa, why, if that's the case, if the basis of this halacha is because Ein Adam Oysa Davishen Shaloi, so then we could have said that halacha even by Mayim Shal Yochid. Why is it specifically made by Mayim Shal Rabbim? So Ravid says that even though Ein Adam Oysa Davishen Shaloi, a person cannot make something and does not belong to him, Osir, says the Ravid, if through a mice, if somebody did something to something, even though he doesn't own that object, it becomes Osir. But for that, says the Ravid, there's a difference who owns that object that you made a physical, that you did something physically to it, you did a mice to it. If it's a Yochid, if it belongs to Yochid, that's when we don't apply Eina Adam Oysa Davishen Shaloi if there was a mice. But if it belongs to the Rabbim, the halacha is, says the Ravid, even if somebody did a maisa, the concept that since this is owned by the Rabbim, not by you, is so strong that you don't have the power, you don't have the ability to make it awesome. Another pshat that the Ravid suggests, that we would think just the opposite. That when something belongs to the Rabbim, since it belongs to the Rabbim, so I am part of the Rabbim. The person who worshipped it is a partial owner because he's part of it together with everybody else. And therefore, we would think that in those circumstances, he has a right to make it usur. The halacha is telling us that even though he's somewhat of an owner, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's shel rabbim, it's not his, he cannot make it usur. The third pshat that the Ravid suggests, that's here, it wasn't used for Avodah Zarah. What happened was that the water was taken, and then he worshipped Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it wasn't something that was taken for Avodah Zarah. That's why he can't make it into Avodah Zarah, suggesting that if he took it specifically for Avodah Zarah, might be a different thing. So we see from here, Hadu Yachid, if it would have been water that belonged to a Yachid, that the halacha is that that water would be Asr if it was worshipped. But to ask the Gemara, but typically, why should it be Asr? We learned so many times that Alaharim, Alaheim, Alaharim, V'loy Aharim, Alaheim, anything attached can never become Avodah Zarah. So water is something that's attached to the stream. So how could it ever become Avodah Zarah? Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara V'chubarim Nenu, and therefore it should become Avodah Zarah. And it says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, we're referring to a situation that Telshinu Gala, it was disconnected by the wave. And since it was disconnected by a wave, it's not considered Mechubra. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma teaches us that Yeshua, when Klal Yisrael came into Yisrael, instituted a rule that a mayon, that any stream of water that runs, everybody has a right to take water from it. No one could say that this stream belongs to me. So ask Tosfos, here we're talking, here the Gemara is differentiating between a mayon shel yochid versus a mayon shel rabbin. Ask Tosfos, according to that decree that Yeshua made, there's no such a thing as a mayon shel yochid. So the Ri answers that there's two types of streams. There's a stream that flows, that began and goes from itself. That stream, indeed, Yeshua made a rule, nobody could claim ownership on it, even if it's in his own private property. However, if somebody dug up the earth, and after digging up the earth, a stream goes forth, that certainly belongs to the person who dug up that stream in his property. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that if somebody owns an entire city, and in that city, the halacha is, there's a stream. Since he owns the stream, the entire city, that stream also belongs to him. The Chasam Sofer has a whole different approach. He says that the Nachri, that we're speaking here about a Nachri, and he wants to suggest that a Nachri who owns a stream in Eretz Yisrael, and he also wants to add that the Nachri is not living in Eretz Yisrael, for such an individual, the rule of Yeshua was not stated. Says the Gemara Letzricha, we're not speaking about when it's still attached to the ground, we're speaking about a situation that Telshinu Gala, that it was still, that it was detached, it's a wave. And therefore, since it's since it's not attached to the ground, therefore it's not the issue that's Mechubar, and Mechubar can become Avodah Zarah. But ask the Gemara, then if that's the case, that we're talking about water that got detached from the stream, Sof Avri Harsh Nidildaninu. We had a lengthy Gemara, but what's the halacha about stones that got detached from a mountain, and they can they become Avodah Zarah or not? And we had a machloikis, and we weren't sure. The Gemara quoted two opinions, Rabbi Yochanan and Bnei Rabbi Chiya. We didn't know who holds what, but now shouldn't this Gemara being a raya to stand Rabbi Yochanan, the Amas Suris, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that if it gets detached by itself, he's the one that holds it to Suris. Says the Gemara, no. Here it's talking about when we spoke about Avodim Shenadadlu, says the Gemara, we're speaking about a case where the stones got detached by themselves. But here we're speaking about that the water, the person took his hand and detached the water, and since the person detached the water, that's why everybody would agree that that could become Avodah Zarah. It's not considered attached anymore. It says the Maruchi Bar Abba Ikla Gavla. Maruchi Bar Abba came to the city of Gavla. Chazar Benos Yisrael de Me'abram. Ivy Kachavim, he saw that there were Jewish women that had become pregnant from Nochrim that had a bris milah but didn't have a tefillah. And then he saw Chazachamra, he saw wine, the mazgah of the Kachavim, that was poured, that was diluted by Nochrim, the Shasu Yisrael, and Jews were drinking that wine. And then he saw Chazat Tormasab, a type of bean, the Shalkala of the Kachavim, that were cooked by the Nochrim, Vachli Yisrael, and Jews were drinking that wine, that Jews were drinking that Vachli Yisrael, and Jews were eating those beans. The Gemara says that Rashi says that these were type of beans that you had to cook 7 times to make them edible. And he didn't say anything to them about what they were doing. Says the Gemara, Asla Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. Then they came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan told him, you should say something. Tzev Achreiz Al Bneim, go and make an announcement that the children of these women who became pregnant, who have children from Nochrim, that those children hey, Mamzerim, have the status of Mamzerim. Al Yenam Yai Nesach, and say that their wine is Yai Nesach, and Al Turmason, and on these beans that were cooked, announce that they're also because of Bishul Akum. And the reason he said to make these announcements is Meshum She'ena B'nai Torah. They're not B'nai Torah. And therefore, since they're not B'nai Torah, therefore, maybe even if there would be room for leniency, here we have to be machmer because they're going to not know what, if we're going to allow them to be lenient, they may come to do this in other places as well. Says the Gemara, Abneim Shem Mamzerim, why did you make an announcement that their children are considered Mamzerim? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, because Rabbi Yochanan is following his opinion. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Loilam Nech Shager, a ger cannot be considered a ger until he has milah v'tefillah. And here, as the Gemara said before, there were people that had milah and didn't have tefillah. And these individuals did not have tefillah. If they didn't have tefillah, they are considered like Nochrim. And Rabbi Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, the child has the halachic status of a mamzer. So our Gemara is teaching us that tefillah and milah are both required. Why are both milah and tefillah required? So the Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Sefer Gilyonei Hashas, says that the reason you need to have both of these acts for somebody to become a ger, he explains, is that there's 2 steps, there's 2 requirements to becoming a ger. One requirement in becoming a ger is that you leave being a nochri, you leave the world of non-Jews. And the next step is that you become a Jew. He says the milah is what separates you from being a nochri, and the tefillah is what makes you into a ger, makes you into a Jew. And there's a very interesting discussion in the Shas Tshuvos Sri Dei Eish about a ger, about a non-Jew, in Shas Tshuvos Sri Dei Eish, Chelik Bei Simen Samach Zayin and Simen Samaches. There was an individual who was very interested in becoming a ger tzedek, and he was sincere about becoming a ger tzedek, but his doctors said that he can't have a bris milah for medical reasons. And the question was, can he become a ger? So the first question that has to be discussed is, what would be the halacha if somebody already had a circumcision, a non-Jewish person, and now he wants to become a ger? The halacha says that person can become a ger with tefillah alone. So the question is, what's going to be the halacha by somebody who did not have a circumcision, but can't have the circumcision because he is not allowed to medically have a bris? Can he become a ger or not? He says, so he says very clearly that a ger has to have mila, tefillah and mila. And he suggests that without the mila, as our Gemara just said, you can't become a Jew. He even says much stronger than that. He says that the halacha is that what would be if you had a Beis Din that went and allowed this person to have a mila? He says, since it was a mila that was not supposed to take place, because according to the doctors, this individual should not have a mila, he wants to suggest even with a mila, he wouldn't become a ger. There's a fundamental question, a big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. We know that the Gemara often speaks about a individual of who may so echav machmas mila. Individual who doesn't have a bris because his brothers were hemophiliacs, and therefore that's dangerous for somebody in that family to have a bris mila. So he doesn't have a bris, and the question is if he's a kohen, is he allowed to eat truma? Rashi says that at the end of the day, he's an oral. So according to Rashi, the psak over here, that this person who wants to become a ger and he can't have a bris mila, he's no different than the kohen who didn't have a bris mila and he's still considered an oral, even though it was beyond his control. But Tosfos' opinion is that an oral is that even if a kohen did not have a bris mila because he wasn't allowed to have a bris mila, he's allowed to eat truma. So the question is that according to Tosfos, we see that the fact that you didn't have a bris mila because of extenuating circumstances takes away the name oral from you. What will be the halacha over here? And the answer is very simple. He says, a member of Klal Yisrael, this kohen is part of Klal Yisrael. They entered into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We, as members of Klal Yisrael, entered into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, besides the general covenant, the general bris that exists between Klal Yisrael as a people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each one of us is supposed to have our own bris. But it doesn't change that as a member of Klal Yisrael, we already are part of that bris. Whereas, when we speak about a Nochri, the Nochrim, as we know, declined to enter into that special covenant, that special bris that exists between a nation and Hashem. So when he wants to become a Jew, he has to have a real bris mila, and nothing short of the bris mila, particularly if we remember what we just quoted from Rabbi Yosef Engel's Zatzal, that the bris is what makes him become part of Klal Yisrael. If the bris is what makes him a member of Klal Yisrael, so if you don't have the bris, with all of the great intentions that you may have, you aren't a member of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, since at that point, you're not a member of Klal Yisrael, the halacha will be that you can't, that individual, unfortunately, has no way, if he can't have a bris mila, has no way of becoming a member of Klal Yisrael. Now he's told them, say al yenom, that the wine that was diluted by the Nochri, that it's also m'shem yayin nesach. Why? As we discussed in our previous year, the Nochri had not actually touched the wine. He just poured the wine. So it's koichai shaloi b'kavona. So koichai shaloi b'kavona is not considered that the Nochri touched the wine. Why should we be so strict about the wine? Again, going back to what we discussed in the previous year, because there's a concept, lech lech amin nazira, schol schol kamloi sikrav. Just like the halacha tells a Nochri, just tells a Nazir that he may not enter into a vineyard. And the reason he's not allowed to enter into a vineyard is because the vineyard is where there's grapes. Here too, anything that comes close to a Nochri touching wine, we have to stay away from. Al Tomasim Shem Shulim in Nochrim, says the Gemara, L'fishetim Nei Torah. So it seems, Tama, that the reason that he was saying that you're not allowed to eat this beans is because ain't a b'nei Torah. Ha b'nei Torah. It seems to say that if these people were b'nei Torah, shari, it would be mutter. Is that true? But ask the Gemara, v'amrav Shmuel bar Yitzchak amarav, kol shenech k'may shuchai, if something could be eaten raw, then ein b'mishum b'shulei nakrim. So we see from here that only if it could be eaten raw. And these tormesin, as we mentioned earlier, can only be eaten by being cooked. And if therefore, of course, there's bishalakim. And if there's bishalakim, why is he singling out the fact that they ain't a b'nei Torah? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, kach lishna svirlei. When we learned earlier in our Masech, the halachas of bishalakim, Damar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, kol she'ena oila al shulchan malachim l'afas b'sapes, anything that's not served in a significant meal to enhance the bread, cooked food, obviously, so this food is not considered, I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that it's not considered a significant food. And since it's not considered a significant food, there was no problem of bishlakim. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a new requirement that the Gemara is saying here. It has to be something which is l'lafas b'as apas. It has to be a food that can be used to enhance the bread. So if you'll have a food that's not used to eat together with bread, it won't have an issue of bishlakim. And that's the status of this food. So therefore, technically, it should not be also because of bishlakim, but because tamad b'nei b'nei Torah, because they're not b'nei Torah, and we can't start teaching them leniencies in bishlakim, because if we're going to teach them leniencies in bishlakim, they may end up being lenient even where the halacha does not allow us to be lenient. B'nei Torah, if they were b'nei Torah, shari, we could be, this is not a food that technically is under the isra of bishlakim, and it can be, therefore, eaten by others. By my name, Rav Kahana, I've got a mashi yolach and novim legas. May and Nachri carry grapes to the gas where they crush the grapes. Amar, Sir Amar Lahusar of Kahana told them Osir. And again he said, the reason being, Lech Lech Amrni Ziris Choschal Kamale Sakrav. We're concerned that this grapes could become into wine, and we have to be most concerned about wine that is touched by a Nachri, and therefore we have to not allow this to happen. Esrei, ask the Gemara, Esrei Rav Yehiel Rav Kahana, the Braisa says, Oiv Kachavim Shevi Anovim, Lagas, if a Oiv Kachavim brought grapes that belong to a Jew from his vineyard to a gas, Besalin Ubedudorim, if they were carried in these baskets, Al Bishayayim Mazalim Baleim, even though wine, when you pour out the grapes into the gas, so the pressure causes that some liquid should come out. So we see that there's no problem with a Nachri carrying grapes to the gas. Answers the Gemara. Amalei, Hevi Kamrit. The case that you're referring to is when it was done. It was done already. That's not what I'm addressing, he says. I'm talking about doing l'chatchila. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that the entire reason that it's usur is because of lech lech amrina nazira. Lech lech nazira nazira is only a chumrah. It's something that we want to be careful about. It doesn't make it into stam yenom, and therefore if it was done by the evid, it's acceptable. The Rishonim discuss why may the goy not, why the nokri may not bring the grapes, may not bring the grapes to the gas. The simple explanation is because as they're being transported, there may be some grapes, there's some juice that'll come out. That's one pshat. The other pshat is that the Ri says that there's already wine in the gas. Since there's already wine in the gas, so when you're pouring the grapes into that gas, something that we spoke about before, there's a concern of nitzik chibur that they're connecting to each other, and therefore we don't want the nachri to be transporting that wine. Says the Gemara, who esrog the nafal chavita de chamra. There was a situation where esrog fell into a barrel of wine. Idri Avdik Chavim, and this Esri belonged to a Nachri. And the Nachri quickly jumped, Vishakle, and he put his hand into the wine to get out the Esri. Amalei Ravashi, so Ravashi, now we have a concern with the Nachri sticking his hand into that barrel of wine that he's going to make the wine usur. So says the Gemara, Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi said to those who were there, Nakde liyade, grab his hand, in order that he shouldn't move around his hand in the wine. Because we know, as we've mentioned so many times in our shiurim, what makes the wine usur is the shikshik of the nakri. But here, we're going to have two reasons why we could be lenient, explained the Rishonim. One is that he didn't intend to put his hand in for any act of nisach. He only put his hand in to save the esrig. And number two, by the Jew grabbing his hand, what the Jew accomplishes by grabbing his hand, it prevents the nochri from doing any mice of shikshik. And therefore, there is much less of a concern not to make the wine usur. The Rebbeinu Tam says that if the Nachri, however, Rebbeinu Tam says, if the Nachri would know that there's wine in this barrel, the moment the Nachri puts his hands into that barrel, the wine in that barrel becomes usur. He says, here we're referring to a situation where the Nachri did not think there was wine in that barrel. And that's why there's a reason that we could be makel. Another pshat that the Rashbam says, that the Nachri didn't care. It's not that he didn't know if there's wine or not wine in that barrel. He didn't care if there's wine or anything else. His only consideration was to get out his esrig. A third pshat that I saw from the Ramban is actually the more the esrig sinks into the liquid, the worse off, as far as the Nachri is concerned, do we have here. What the Nachri wanted to do is grab the esrig and save the esrig before it even gets into the liquid. So he really didn't want his hand to be in the liquid. And therefore, giving all of these considerations, that's why he said, Hutzua, and then he said, while you're holding the Nachri's hand, and by holding the Nachri's hand, you're making sure that he doesn't, all the different pshatim that we just learned, the Nachri's hand is paralyzed, so to speak, and then pour out all the wine, add the shaifa, and then the Nachri will take out the esrig, and the wine will be fine. Says the Gemara, Amar Vashi, Hayavit Chavim, the Naschi Elchamid Yisrael, B'kavonim. A Nachri put his hands into a barrel of Jewish wine. He did it deliberately, because he knew that the wine will become usur. Even though you can't sell that wine to another Nachri, because as we learned many times, Medina the Gemara, according to the Psak of the Gemara, wine that's usur is usur even Bahanov. You may not send it. The Yisrael could force the Nachri to pay him the value of the wine. My Tama, what's the reason? Mikla Kalia, it's no different then the Nachri would have done damage. It's no different than if Nachri would have burnt somebody's property. If a Nachri burnt somebody's property, the halach is that he's entitled to collect back the money that he destroyed. And that's what's happened here. Here it's considered a question of mazik, and therefore it's a lot of collect. But the Rishonim, many Rishonim take the position in understanding this Gemara, that what happened here is that the Nachri did not do nisach with this wine. So since the Nachri did not do nisach with the wine is not osam b'daraisa. The wine is only osam b'drabonon. And since the wine is only osur b'drabonon, and the Nachri had done this deliberately to cause the Jew damage, that's why you're allowed to collect. That's why you're allowed to collect the value of the wine. Had the wine become wine that was Yayin Nesach, then of course a Jew can't collect money from wine that's Osbanon. Rav Ashi Minan Mila says Rav Ashi from Where do I know this halacha? The Tanya. Avik Chavim Shnasach Yenish Yisrael. If a Nachri shook the wine of Yisrael, Shloim Bifnei Avodas Kachavim. If he did it not in the presence of an Avodah Zarah, Osir, the wine is Osir. Yehuda ben Baba of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Matirin, says you could have enough from the wine. Mishum Shneidvar, for two reasons. Echad Sheim Naskim Yain Elif Nevers Kechavim. The fact that there was no Avodah Zarah there is an indication that that's not an act of Nisach. Vechad Amaloi, because the Yisrael could say to the Nachri, Lav Kol Manach, you don't have the ability Tessa Yain Lainsi to make wine that doesn't belong to you, usur. So even though the halacha would be that we're not allowed to drink that wine, the halacha still is that the Jew could collect the value of the wine. Because, since the wine is not usur midraisa, and since the wine is not usur midraisa because it wasn't done in front of the Avodah Zarah, and therefore, since it wasn't Osam Deraisa before, because it wasn't in front of the Avodah Zarah, it's only Osam Derabanan, given all of these considerations that we just discussed, that's why the halacha is that Ein Adam Osam Davish Ein Shaloi, and the halacha is that you can't make that, he can't make that wine, he can't make that wine Osam. Here we're learning that sometimes people cause other people damage. And the question is, under which circumstances could you collect for those damages and which circumstances can you not? The Sefer Chashukei Chema discusses a most interesting question. He says that there was somebody who worked for a caterer who ordered chicken for a dinner that he was catering. And the worker, a religious Jew, and saw that there wasn't enough food available for this affair. He was concerned that there wasn't enough food available for this affair, and he went to the store and bought kosher chickens, not with the kashrus that's normally used by this caterer, and then he mixed those chickens up with the other chickens, and then the caterer found out, the Baal Simcha found out, and they didn't want to eat those chickens because they had ordered specifically the chickens with a certain hechsher to be used at out of fear, not these other chickens. The caterer now comes to this worker and says, you caused me very serious damage because all of my chickens that had the proper hashgacha that was supposed to be used, now you ruined it. And what you shouldn't have, and you who you went on your own and bought those other chickens, you should be held responsible. Because had you first contacted me and told me, well, there's a shortage of chicken, what should I do? And I would have told you which chickens to buy and which chickens not to buy. Now you bought the wrong chickens, and because of that, I have this loss that I can't use any of the chickens, even the ones that are fine. And the question is, will he be chayiv or not? So he says for sure that in this case that we can't make him pay. And even though in our Gemara we do make him pay, it's a very different situation. Because in our Gemara, this person, as we started this piece of Gemara, this Nachri, put his hands into the wine, knowing that by putting his hands into the wine, he's going to make the wine also to be consumed by Jews. And because he did something like that, that's why he has to pay. Here, this person was innocent. That's one reason to be lenient. The other reason to be lenient is that's a hezek sheid nikker. In Hilchas Hezek, the halacha is that it has to be a hezek nikker. It has to be a hezek that is noticeable. This is not a hezek that's noticeable. And therefore, the halacha is that hezek sheid nikker lo shmei hezek. The next reason to be lenient, explained the Paiskim, is that if he would have bought chickens that are not kosher, then he could have a very strong claim. He had bought chickens that are kosher. Yes, this person, this caterer, this whoever, doesn't want to use those chicken, which is very much his right, very much his prerogative, not to use those chickens. But it's not the same like our Gemara. In our Gemara, he put his hands into wine. So putting your hands into wine makes the wine not kosher. Here, it's only different levels of kashrus, and therefore, since you have all of these reasons, the caterer cannot make this person who acted in good faith pay for the chickens that he bought and mixed up with the other chickens.